Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, Ted Williams. Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. This is not Scott Spears. This is Matthew Morgan. Scott got tied up with something or another. So it is just me tonight for the next 3 hours. So if anybody has anything they'd like to say, feel free to call in. There's lots to talk about, I suppose, though, so I guess we can get into that. Locally, I mean, there is a new city council. I have yet to see them do anything. I do believe I was either at work or sleeping through the last committee meeting. So I think Monday is going to be rather interesting. Should I actually not fall asleep this time? To my understanding, the vote on the budget was 8-1, which is, I find it rather interesting, I guess. Because there was a council meeting in which, or I think it was actually a committee meeting, in which, I do believe it was Aaron Rollins was basically asked if they knew what they were voting on with the budget, and he said he did not. I don't know how you're going to vote on a budget that you don't know what it is, but I guess they did. So we shall see how that whole thing pans out. Also, as of recently, it has apparently come to the attention of everybody that the county is also in a financial problem of some kind. I guess they passed a budget this year that they said they will not be able to pass again next year. So, I think that's rather interesting. I don't know what the county spends all of their money on. I would like to see the budget just to be nosy, I suppose. But, I don't know how big the county is really, I guess, but I mean they have to make a lot of money in taxes. I mean, like Kroger, Walmart, Meijer, there's two McDonald's. Like there's so many businesses are in the county. So I mean, I don't know exactly what they spend all the money on there, but it would seem that they have been spending money. But I guess you'll have that sometimes. I guess, I don't know. But yeah, so, seems that Marion as a whole is in a bit of a financial slump right now, but I'm sure that it'll all get sorted out at some point or another, especially seeing as with the city, at the very least, the state auditor is getting involved with that. Well, not like hands-on yet, but I don't know what the date is, but there's supposed to be a... I guess at one point or another, they're going to determine whether or not they want to come in and be more, I guess, hands-on if they're not happy with the city's financial recovery plan, I do believe. So that's always a possibility that the state should come in, could come in and try to fix things that way. And there was a caller, I do believe it was this morning, that said that... something along the lines of that they hope that the state auditor gets involved directly, or that the auditor's office, I guess, I don't know that the state auditor, but yeah, that they hope that the state auditor's office gets involved directly because they feel that the finances are in that rough a shape in Marion. So I guess, you know, there's always that. But also, speaking of the state level of office here. Mike DeWine, I was looking at this paper next to me here. I think it's, yeah, it's the quote of, Mike DeWine endorsing Vivek Ramaswamy. We will get to that. But no, Vivek Ramaswamy has picked his, my head broke. I can't think of what they're called for some reason. assistant governor, I guess. I don't know. My head broke. I can't think of the word. Man, now it bothers me. But either way, lieutenant governor. There we go. The word came to me. The lieutenant governor, can't think of his, Rob McCauley. There we go. I guess that's going to work out well for him. Rob McCauley is a, let's see here, Senate president who, according to, Mike DeWine, is as respected by his peers. I can imagine as much. I mean, he's a Senate president. I assume he knows, you know, his way around the state house there, which I think bodes well for Vivek, seeing as, which is my biggest pet peeve about both of the candidates, is he has no political experience. Sorry. He has no political experience, but, also there seems to be some thought process that perhaps because he is a non-white person who is not Christian, that there will be some issue. I think that there will probably be some people who do not vote for him for that reason, but I don't know that it will be a substantial amount of people. Same thing with Amy Acton. I'm sure there will be people who don't vote for her because she's a woman, but I don't think it'll be a substantial amount of people. But I guess we'll see what the voter turns out. What the voter turns out, and my gosh, I can't even talk. What the voter turnout ends up being. There we go. So we shall see how that whole thing works out. But yeah, so he is, by the way, we found out the other night that he is rather young. For some reason I thought he was in his 50s, but apparently he's 40 as well. So two young people on that ticket. And then on the Democratic side, we have Amy Acton as the top of the ticket, being the gubernatorial candidate, and David Pepper being the lieutenant governor choice. I think that's a good pick for her as well. Again, I mean, with being a man, I think that you know, works out okay for, you know, her, seeing as, like I said, there will be at least a minute number of people who do not vote for her because she's a woman, but I think it at least works out better for her because the lieutenant governor is a man. But also, to my understanding, I don't know exactly, I don't know that I paid too much. I've always paid attention to national politics to some extent. I paid attention to, like, the presidents and whatnot. But, I never paid attention really to the state level, but to my understanding, David Pepper was he was the former head of the Democratic Party. He was a rather good former head of the Democratic Party here in Ohio. And, you know, so, I mean, to be the head of the Democratic Party, I assume you have to have some political, you know, wherewithal. You know, I assume he's a good fundraiser, good campaigner, that kind of thing. So I think that, you know, probably bodes well for her. But he also... I don't know what the political layout of the whole Democratic Party is, but I don't know that he's held any office besides, you know, head of the Democratic Party, and that's more of a seat, I guess. Even if that, I don't even know if that counts. But, I mean, I think it's going to bode well for her, I think that seeing as... he was a good head of the Democratic Party when he was the head. I think he can campaign pretty well, so we shall see how that whole thing works out. And also, she is ahead, and Amy Acton is ahead in the polls, beating Vivek Ramaswamy, I think, by a point and 2 points, depending on which poll you look at. It's been a while since I looked at the polls, though. But I think it's interesting that she's in the lead. I don't think that bodes well for Ramaswamy. I mean, I guess, you know, the polls are the polls, I suppose. But, I don't know. I mean, considering it's Ohio and he's already got the endorsement of, like, I don't know, the majority of the Republican candidates, including the sitting governor, including the party itself, I figured that, you know, maybe it'd be higher. But also, I mean, because it was all so early, maybe it worked out against him, because I guess all of that was probably to get Dave Yost out of the race, which he did. Because there were also ads running, Vivek Ramaswamy ads, like way early when Dave Yost was in the race. So, you know, it might not work in his favor because now, you know, you can't, I mean, I guess you could go back and do it again, but it's kind of phony at that point. And yeah, I mean, it could possibly be, I mean, I guess you could assume it, but it could possibly be forgotten by, you know, the voters come time, to vote. So, you know, I think that's rather, a rather interesting point, I guess. Yeah. If you have anything to add to the conversation or anything you would like to talk about, feel free to call in 740-383-9944. And I do believe it was within hours of, by the way, Vivek Ramaswamy and Amy Acton picked their lieutenant governor on the same day, within hours, I do believe, of each other. And within hours, I do believe, of Vivek Ramaswamy picking Rob McCauley, Mike DeWine said in a statement, "With the election year upon us, I am joining Republicans across Ohio in supporting our dynamic ticket for governor, led by Vivek Ramaswamy. Ohio is winning new business projects from the coast, and Vivek Ramaswamy will keep the momentum going. Vivek Ramaswamy knows that Ohio is the best state to build a business, to raise a family, and to pursue your vision of the American dream. The first important decision any governor makes is who will be his or her choice for lieutenant governor. Vivek Ramaswamy has made a great pick in Senate President Rob McCauley to be his running mate. Senate President McCauley is a strong leader who is well respected by members of the General Assembly. He knows Ohio and brings geographical balance to the ticket." I'm not sure, because we discovered that Rob McCauley and Vivek Ramaswamy are both from Cincinnati, so we couldn't really quite figure out what he meant there by geographical balance, because we assumed that, but we looked it up during a break or something like that, geographical balance, because we knew that Vivek was from Cincinnati, so we assumed that he was perhaps from, like, Cleveland or something like that, so, you know, geographical balance, one from the north, one from the south, but, apparently not, so maybe it's, I don't know, I couldn't tell you, but yeah, also, I just thought it was, I don't think he really meant anything by it, I guess, but he said that the, first important any governor makes is who will be his or her choice for lieutenant governor, you know. He's talking, well, I guess, you know, he said any governor makes. But, you know, in this particular election, I guess he could have just said his and probably got away with it. But either way, so Mike DeWine has endorsed Vivek. It came rather quick. I thought it would be later than what it was, but it ended up being pretty quickly after the lieutenant governor pick. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't know what I was thinking there. But with that being said, there are some national things to talk about as well. So I don't think I've talked on air about the Venezuelan raid, whatever you want to call it, the operation to get to capture Maduro, and his wife, apparently. So, now, okay. Was Maduro a bad guy? Sure. Should he have been in office? No, he lost the election, is my understanding, and just stayed in office. And there were people in Venezuela who were quite happy when he was removed. Do I think it was our job to go in and, you know, capture Maduro and his wife for some reason. I mean, I guess maybe they're going to charge her, his wife as like a co-conspirator or something. But I don't think it was our place to really just go and capture a world leader. I mean, the UN has denounced it. I mean, most of the world has denounced it. I know China has, Russia has. I do believe some of the EU has. It's widely unpopular. Also, Colombian's president, because Trump had made a comment about the U.S. taking over Venezuela. Colombian's president said that if the U.S. takes over Venezuela, it will implode. And said that there's some idea that the United States has a right to the resources in Latin America, but in the world. Now, I'd assume that they're the Colombian president's a woman. But I do believe she's talking about Trump has an idea. But, yes. So, the Colombian president's rather unhappy with the, given the current situation. But I guess you probably would be if you were in South America and you watched a neighboring, country's leader just get, you know, scooped from their, from power. I don't know. I don't think it looks all that great, you know. But, I guess, you know, since the Venezuelan president has, I guess, been scooped, it is what it is, I suppose. I mean, I'm sure that somebody at some point will, I don't know, I was going to say, like, do something to Trump, but that's not what I meant, I suppose. More like the, like, international courts will do something to Trump, like they, you know, the international courts like to do things. I think that they'll probably do something at some point, but I don't think it'll matter. Because I don't know if the international courts has any real authority, per se. I mean, you have an arrest warrant, but there are all kinds of people with arrest warrants that go to other countries and then don't get arrested. So I don't think it really matters in the grand scheme of things. The international courts doesn't hold... I mean, I don't know. Doesn't seem to matter at the very least. But yeah, so I don't think that we should have gone in and scooped Venezuelan's country... Venezuelan's world leader, and possibly their country, should Trump follow through and we take over Venezuela for whatever reason. But yeah, also, he was, I do believe, either in Greenland or talking about Greenland, I don't recall exactly, but he said, or not Greenland, sorry, Venezuela, but he was talking about Greenland, and he said that, we are going to do something on Greenland, whether they like it or not. If we don't do it, Russia or China will take over Greenland, and we're not going to have Russia or China as a neighbor. So, I mean, I guess he's, also saying that he's gonna take over Venezuela, either peacefully or by force. I don't know about takeover, I guess, but, maybe expand military operations, which I don't even think Greenland would be opposed to if we just asked them. I mean, we've been, you know, good friends with Greenland for a long time now. So, I don't think that that's a problem, really. Also, we're already neighbors with Russia. If you just look at a map, it looks like Russia's on the other side of the world, but we're a globe. Like, Alaska... Like, there's... The Bering Sea is the only thing that separates us from Alaska. Like, Alaskan fishing vessels fish in the same water as Russian fishing vessels. We're already neighbors. It's just like the Siberian portion of Russia, I do believe. That'd be considered like the Siberian portion. Like over by like Kamchatka, I do believe. That's like the Bering Sea region. So we're already neighbors with Russia. I don't know if he knows that, I guess. But, yeah. So, apparently, Trump is planning to take, I guess, more control of Greenland, either... He said that we can do... Basically, he said the easy way or the hard way, but he didn't say it that way. But yeah, either way, I think it's, you know, not a good idea. It kind of reminds me of, like, the manifest, I think it's Manifest Destiny, where, I don't know, Andrew Jackson maybe was a big proponent, I think, of the whole Manifest Destiny thing when we took over, like, portions of Mexico and, I guess, the West. I think that maybe Trump's just doing another Manifest Destiny of some kind, but you can't do that in the modern world. It's not very, it's not very popular to go taking over, countries and scooping foreign leaders. But, you know, you'll have that, I guess. Also, there was a shooting by, an ICE agent. I'm sure, you know, everybody's heard of it, heard about it at this point. I didn't watch the video until this morning, though. I had just seen the, like, article. But, there was a shooting in, Minneapolis by an ICE agent. The mayor, I do believe, of Minneapolis, told ICE to, leave the city and used expletives. And he also, said that because, when it happened, I don't know who exactly said it, maybe Trump, Kristi Noem, said that, it was in self-defense because she tried to run him over, apparently. But he said that was, BS. I was reading some articles, and, apparently he did, like, get hit by the car, but it was more like, like, bumped, really. He didn't fall over or anything. He was easily able to, stabilize himself. He should not have fired into the car. That kind of thing. But, I mean, you know. I think the whole situation, in Minneapolis, that whole thing was a mess there. I don't know why ICE had her blocked in or pulled over or whatever happened to begin with. But, you know, ICE is just doing whatever they feel they need to, I suppose. I don't know. Also, the ICE agent who was responsible for shooting Mrs. Good, or Miss Good. I don't know if she was married. I do believe she was married, so Mrs. Good. Said that, or not said, the one who shot her, sorry, my head is, not used to doing the show by myself, but, the woman who, or the officer who shot her said, again, the officer who shot her had been in ICE for, I do believe, 10 years, I want to say. And like a year prior, he had been in an incident during a traffic stop in which, he was hit and dragged by a car and, you know, injured, obviously. So I don't know even that it was a great idea to have him out, doing that kind of thing. You know, apparently, I don't know if he knew even that it would be a good idea to do all that, but I don't think it ended up being well, because I think he probably had, like, PTSD of some kind, and, freaked out. So, again, I don't think he should have shot her, but, I think he freaked out. But, I don't know. If you have anything you'd like to add to the conversation, feel free to call in. We have 20 minutes left in the first hour here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. All right, well, sorry, 1 second. I gotta pull up my phone again. So also, yes, I forgot what I was, up next. The U.S. has been seizing oil tankers coming to and, from, I guess, Venezuela. As I guess we have sanctioned Venezuela and Trump's making sure that the sanctions are going through. But also, I don't know why he feels the need to seize the oil tankers, because, I don't know. I mean, I guess he does what he does, I suppose. But, Venezuela, I do believe the vice president, or I guess current president, said that, she'd be willing to, make deals with U.S. oil companies. So, you know, I think that that's... I think you're doing a good job of sabotaging deals by stealing oil tankers. That's probably not a good thing to do in the middle of negotiations or, you know, that kind of thing. So I don't know what the plan for Venezuela is. Originally the Trump administration said that we were going to control Venezuela, and then, you know, apparently we weren't going to control Venezuela. And at one point in time, Venezuela said that they would let American oil companies in, and and then the oil companies said that they did not want, or they had no plans to go over there, which they might not have at the time, I suppose, because I do believe Maduro was still in power at that point. The reason they might not have is because Venezuela did nationalize some, refineries or whatnot, whatever they had over there. So the machinery that they had over there and the whole oil refineries and whatnot was nationalized or got nationalized by Venezuela. So essentially they were kicked out of Venezuela, the oil companies were. So I can understand not wanting to go back over there. I mean, you could very well, I guess, just get, conned again. So I think that's, I don't know. I mean, it ended up, I guess, I don't know, not boding well for Venezuela or Maduro. And why did we get his wife, too? That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I mean, his wife is just his wife. I mean, I don't know. If we left her over there, like, would she, like, I don't know. Would she become, like, a figurehead or something? Like, I don't see what the problem would be with leaving her over there. She wasn't the dictator. He was. Also, to my knowledge, I don't know that she has any warrants for her. Maduro at least had warrants for him. Also, it doesn't really surprise me that Russia and China were opposed to what happened to Maduro. Sorry. They had a lot of foreign investments tied up in South America and Africa both, but we haven't done anything to Africa. But, yes, they have a lot of, investments tied up into South America and Africa, especially China. China has, like, the Belt and Roads Initiative, which is very very, very scammy, that kind of thing. So they just take advantage of smaller countries with absurd interest rates that they can't pay back, and then basically just confiscate things as payment. But, yeah. So obviously they're going to be upset about that. But I think that they're just naturally opposed to anything that we do, which is, I guess, fair enough. I think that for some reason we tend to be opposed to everything they do. Interesting. But, yeah, the U.S. is seizing more oil tankers, like I said. I don't know that that bodes well for the negotiations with the the oil companies over in Venezuela, but, we shall see, I guess. Only time will tell, as they say. Oh, yes. The Senate has passed, the Senate passes a war powers resolution, I guess in response to Trump's excursion into Venezuela. It has passed the Senate, but it has to pass the House as well, and if it passes the House, it will probably have to survive a veto, as I really can't see Donald Trump signing a bill into law, I suppose, that, you know, prohibits his ability to do what he wants to do. And there were several Republicans who voted in favor of it, obviously, otherwise it wouldn't have passed. It passed, by the way, like a hair. I think they needed 52 and they got 53. Or maybe it needed 51 and they got 52. It passed by one. I don't remember. But Trump, in a Truth Social post, said that Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, Rand Paul, Josh Hawley, and Todd Young should never be elected to office again, and called their vote stupidity. And he went on to say that, I guess argue more so, you know, being the thing that he does and everything that, you know, you do to prohibit the president's power is unconstitutional. That's pretty much what he said. He said that a Vietnam-era law that is aimed at limiting a president's power to commit troops to conflict without congressional approval was unconstitutional. But I don't know how exactly he would perceive that, as Congress has the, you know, Congress's ability to declare, Congress has the ability to declare war. The president can deploy troops, but I think it's something like you have like 30 days to get congressional approval to either extend it or get a declaration of war. Something along those lines. But, yeah. So, there's that. Trump, again, saying that something to limit his ability to do things is unconstitutional. Well, once again, if you have anything you'd like to add to this conversation, or anything outside of this conversation that you would like to say, feel free to call in 740-383-9944. That is 740-383-9944. Now, I talked a little bit about the city council. I haven't seen the new city council in action yet, but I'm interested to see how that whole thing works out, or that that whole group works out. I wonder if they will have more communication than the previous ones. You know, I mean, they had in a meeting, they had said that, you know, nobody really talked to anybody, essentially, saying that, you know, treasurer, auditor don't talk to each other, that kind of thing. Everybody should be talking to everybody. It's, you know, communication is key in most cases. I'd assume that includes running a city, or county for that matter, but I don't know what the problem is with the county. I can't really say a whole lot there, I suppose. But, yeah, I think Monday is going to be interesting. I don't know what's on the agenda exactly, but I think it's always at least somewhat interesting to go to the city council meetings. But I do feel like there's a lot of, I don't know if it's like wasteful conversation per se, but I think a lot of the arguments, or whatever you want to call them, that they have nothing to do with city business, or at the very least, what's on the table. So I don't know why the conversation happened. But, you know, besides that, I like it. Yeah, so Scott Kreider's been on city council before, so I think that, you know, by the way, does anybody know who the one vote against the passing of the budget was? If you do, let me know, 740-383-9944. I would be interested to find that out because, you know, like I said, in the, I do believe it was Finance Committee, Aaron Rollins had said at one point that, you know, they didn't know what they'd be voting on in the budget. And, so I'm interested to see who the one vote was. I'll have to look into that. But yeah. But nonetheless, once again, 10 minutes left in the first hour of this show. If you have anything you'd like to say, feel free to call in 740-383-9944. Well, by the way, I'm sure Scott had, well, I know he has, I was here. It was 90 degrees the other day. I was not in here when it was 90 degrees, but the temperature has gotten definitely more under control. It is 70 degrees in here as of currently, and somehow I am still sweating. I think I just don't like to be sitting down for some reason. I don't know. But, yeah, so other than that, it's nice in here. We still have a Grinch balloon. I'm not quite sure why that's there. I guess it's just holding helium really well. Still looks like it's doesn't even need blown up. And we also ended up with a big old refresh your holiday spirit Coca-Cola Santa Claus thing that would hang in a grocery store. So I think those are good additions to the Christmas stock we have, even though, you know, it's getting crowded in here with Christmas as it is. But I guess that's the way Christmas works. We love the decorations and whatnot. Yeah. But, I don't know. I think the gubernatorial election this year is going to be interesting because it's going to be a first. Either way, you know, if Vivek wins, he's going to be the first person of, you know, color, I suppose, to win the governorship. And otherwise, it'll be the first woman to win the governorship. So that's exciting, I suppose. But I'm interested to see the election results, to see how many people ended up voting in the election. I have said that I don't know that I will, but I mean, I could go to the ballot box and abstain from the gubernatorial ticket, vote on everything else, submit my ballot, and I probably wouldn't be all that upset, I guess. But I don't know. I don't like leaving blank ballots, I suppose, because, you know, I don't know. I hate the lesser of two evils, though. I don't think that's a good philosophy either, so I guess we shall see there. Also, we had on, this morning we had on, oh gosh, this is terrible. Steven. Can't think of his last name. One second. But we had on another one of the people getting into the, Stephen Wolf, there we go. Had another person getting into the state rep race. So now it has expanded. It is Tracy Richardson, or no, sorry. They're racing for Tracy Richardson's seat. It is, Stephen Wolf, Weslin Davis, Ben Weber. Now, I would assume, I don't know for certain, because I, you know, haven't followed them, you know, incredibly close, but I would almost 100% assume at this point that those two have, you know, I mean, they have campaign websites. I would assume that they've, you know, announced there that they're running. He has, I guess, announced that he's running as well, and he's campaigning, but his actual, like, party or whatever you want to say, his announcement thing, isn't until, I think he said the 15th. I could be wrong, though. Go back and listen to the first hour this morning. Good interview. I thought so. I think they've all given good interviews, but they've all interested me in, one second, I bounce around too much. I don't even remember what I was saying now, but I think they've all given good interviews, and, I think it does interest me because they all basically said that, you know, I mean, this morning Stephen Wolf said that him, Weslin Davis and Ben Weber are all generally speaking the same. They have all generally speaking the same political beliefs. So I don't know how you really distinguish which one to vote for over the other one. Truth be told, I guess maybe endorsements or something like that. I really couldn't tell you. But besides that, they've all been nice. I haven't had any problems with any of them. Ben spoke to us multiple times at the fair. Weslin's been on multiple times. Steven, to my knowledge, at the very least, is just getting in the race. Like I said, I do believe the 15th is when he said his is. Could be wrong on the date, though. Check the show this morning if you are interested. Yeah, so I think that race is shaping up to be interesting. I guess we shall see how that whole thing works. I don't think there's a Democratic candidate running for that seat, which is rather upsetting. I think it's unfortunate when there's no competition, because, you know, then the primary decides the winner. I think that it's better to, it's better to contest every seat than leave open seats. I don't know why. I mean, if you can't get anybody to run, I guess you can't get anybody to run. You can't bend hands that much. But I think contested seats are better than uncontested seats. But with that being said, I guess, there's 4 minutes left in this first hour here. 740-383-9944 if you wanted to say something before the first hour ends. That's 740-383-9944. I was upset, like I've said many times, that Tim Ryan didn't get into the race. I was sort of kind of hoping that Tim Ryan became the running mate of Amy Acton, but I had, I wasn't keeping my hopes up. So there's that, I suppose. But, nonetheless, it, is what it is, I suppose, there. But, again, I think David Pepper was a pretty good pick. He was the, he was a former head of the Democratic Party. I would assume he's a good campaigner. I would assume he knows, how to fundraise. And, unfortunately, money is very important in politics at this given stage. I think there was something like $5 or $6 billion spent in the last election. That's a lot of money. Either way, I guess. But I think that it's going to be, like I said, a rather interesting race as far as the gubernatorial ticket goes. Now, I will say that Vivek Ramaswamy has been, I don't know where all he's been. I haven't kept track of really either of them, but I know that he has been in Marion. He went to the Republicans' Harding dinner, I do believe. And he gave a thing there, like a speech, I think. A speech. I know he was there. But Amy Acton, I don't know where all she's been, like I said, but she has not been to Marion. I don't know. I know that she's been in Columbus. I don't think staying in the big cities. I'm no strategist, I guess, but I don't think staying in the big cities is a great strategy for them, as I think the big cities is probably where the majority of their voter base is to begin with. But I guess, like I said, we'll see. Vivek has been campaigning. I know he's got a lot of money behind him. The money's fallen behind Vivek. I don't know in comparison to who's got more money as of right now, but the race is going to be close. I think it's going to be a close election, and I think that anybody counting I think anybody counting either of them out really is it's not the best idea. So, anybody can win. It's politics. It's just like sports, kind of. Not really. A lot more important than sports. But, nonetheless, things happen. Both of them could royally mess up before the election actually happens. But it is the end of the first hour here. Stay tuned. Join us for the next hour, or join me, I suppose, for the next hour. Next hour, we're probably going to talk about, well, maybe touch a little bit more on politics. But other than that, we're going to talk about football, the coaching carousel, and the playoffs. You can listen to us, however you're listening right now, obviously. You can listen Alexa, Smart TV, anything like that. You can get on WWGH 1071.com and listen there, and the free TuneIn app. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the place for the best guests and talk. From Joey Diori at WGN's Bozo the Clown.
Before we wrap up, I'll ask, and you can or can't, can you do something